The following presentation is brought to you by
Heart Brain Media Group.
Capturing the moments that make life great. Let's go, girls.
It's about growing personally and professionally.
What's the one thing that really drives you, that really drives your passion?
It's about climbing the ladder or opening a new door.
Too many people give up too early on their dream.
It's about enjoying your professional journey.
I enjoy what I do.
It's about keeping things real.
So the interview is an interview. I like this.
It's all about you.
But I knew that there was something else I wanted to do with my life. I knew I wanted to help people.
This is Up or Out with Connie Fife.
We love your voice. You need to be on radio.
And now, your host, Connie Fife.
Hello, this is Connie Fife, your unstoppable diva, and this is Up or Out, it's Business Radio with an Edge. And today, our special guest on the show is Dr. James Kelly, which has been a long road to trying to get him on the show, but he is here, and we have so much to talk about today. And really, we're going to be talking really what it means to have endurance. But I'm gonna start really quick about a quote that I've found, and James, you're gonna really love it. It's from Buddha, which is endurance is one of the most difficult disciplines, but it is to the one who endures that the final victory comes.
There's truth in that.
And there is so much truth in that. So everyone listening, it is time to turn up the volume because it is time for Up or Out with Connie. And always stay tuned to the end of the show because you don't want to miss any of the good, exciting giveaways and a lot of the good stuff that we have. So let's get started with our challenge question for today. So most of us, I mean, lose our endurance. I'm trying to say that five times. Well, let me do it again. Most of us lose our endurance at one time or another. I mean, you know, we focus too much on those, you know, extrinsic motivations or, you know, we get knocked down or, you know, some challenge comes in our life and, you know, we just don't know where to go. And that endurance just goes away. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to be popular. We want to win those races, you know, but what's happening instead is that we really need to focus on the why. Mm-hmm. The why of why we want certain things. So, I mean, really simply, what really matters is how you are performing against yourself. And some of us set those records and even win, but honestly, most of us don't.
We lose.
You got it. And you know, and that's okay. That is really okay. But you want to build that endurance and all things really will get better. So ask yourself today, am I better today than I was yesterday? Are you better today than you were yesterday? Talking about winning, I spent the last couple of days, you know, going to Grammy parties and the Grammy and walking the red carpet. And let me tell you, I tripped over myself so many times that I just had to laugh at myself. And so many, you know, all those people that are up there for awards and, you know, to think that how hard they work for what they do. I mean, I am really in awe of many of these artists because they really put themselves out there. They really give it their all. And then when they don't win, you know, it's really tough. It's really tough for them. And so many of them give up. But we can't give up. I mean, we need to keep that endurance and we need to keep on going. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. And we do need to take a really quick sponsor break because those are the folks that are paying the bills. So we'll be right back. Hi, this is Connie Fife, your unstoppable diva, your host of Up or Out with Connie. I am thrilled to be a headline show on C-Suite Network. where you can grow your brand, grow your tribe, and be unstoppable. We are the hottest podcast for entrepreneurs, C-level executives, and market leaders. And you can hear me each week right here on the C-Suite Network. Also on Conscious Business Network, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, and over 900 stations around the globe. Be sure to follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. Thanks for listening. Be bold, be connected, and be unstoppable. We're back and you're listening to Up Route with Connie. So now let me properly introduce our guest for today's show, because it is now my pleasure to introduce on the show today is Dr. James Kelly. He's a podcast host. He's also on Business Conscious Radio. He's also on the C-Suite Network. He's a professor and he's a consultant, and he's just an all-around good guy. So, James, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on your show. I'm honored and just thrilled to talk and chat and see where this whole conversation goes. Let's do this.
All righty, let's go. It's go time, as they say. So, I mean, you know, you wear so many hats, and you know, when we were
hence
talking,
why I'm bald. I've rubbed all my hair off with all these hats I keep putting on.
you're a podcaster. You're a professor. You're a consultant. I know that you've done a lot of work with in marketing and in the marketing field. But maybe what? And the other thing too, you mentioned that you're focusing on solving some of life's great questions, or what I like to say, life's great mysteries. So what are some of those questions? And I guess the real question I have you found any answers?
Yeah, that's kind of like asking the question, how long is the piece of string, right?
Right.
So, I mean, that is life's journey. Life's journey is about trying to find that point of self-actualization and figuring out what it is for you to fill your personal bucket.
Okay.
And so for me, I'm on this journey to do probably about three things in general. One, be the best dad I can be a better dad than my dad was, and leave my kids with some sense of being as a human being, being comfortable with themselves, being comfortable with the choices that they make, and being a better person than I am, because I have plenty of flaws and I apologize all the time to my kids for the mistakes I make. So that's one. Two, my dad died when I was 40, I was 20, he was 49. Okay. I'm not there yet. But he died when he was 49, I was 20. And big mission that I have is to leave myself and the people around me in a healthier state. And so I'm constantly trying to figure out what I can do for myself and then espouse those values to give to other people.
Okay.
Not in a pushy way, but to live by the examples that I try to set.
Okay.
And then the third thing that I'm trying to really do in life in terms of asking the why is to work with companies. This is where the professional side comes in. Is to work with companies and how they can create nudges in the marketplace or in their environment, their employee environment, organizational environment, using either technology or communications. And that's where my marketing background comes into play.
Okay,
is that I really want to help them. You know, marketing is a funny thing. It's fickle. But if you use the right words and you create the right scenes and environments,
right,
it's amazing what you can get people to do. And if you can create that in a way that's not manipulative, but supportive, then at the end, they're better off for it.
Well, I don't know if you know, I'm working on my next book, which is around emotional engagement. Mm-hmm. And the whole book is about how to, like you said, not manipulating people, but how do you get people engaged at an emotional level that they want to do more?
That's the next phase of marketing. Marketing is about emotions now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where it's at. And it's difficult, right? Because you're dealing with the non-conscious and the conscious emotion.
Yes.
And, you know, there's a lot of research out there that talks about the non-conscious emotion actually drives your feelings and your cognitive behavior. Mm-hmm. And not to get in the weeds, but there's a guy named DiMaggio. I'll bring my weed whacker and put a nice pattern in the grass. But there's a guy named DiMaggio who kind of came up with this whole idea of non-conscious emotion. And that right. the emotion is a primal stance mm-hmm. That you have that feeds your actual feeling and your actual cognitive behavior. You know, I always, when I talk to people and I try to explain this, I always use the concept of frugality. People think frugality is a very logical, conscious choice, but frugality is actually taught. There's an emotional connection to money made somewhere in your life from your family that right. teaches you that money is emotional and that I need mm-hmm. to be frugal. But you rationalize conscious.
Well, it is conscious. And I mean, I had looked at that. I actually did a study of that myself. And my father-in-law was my main character or focus, if you will, when I did my research, because he's a product of the 20s.
Yeah.
And frugal. Talk about frugal. When he passed, he must have had 1,000 screwdrivers. I don't know how many unworking coffee pots, because I mean, he just didn't throw anything away. And if something broke in the house somehow, some way, he figured out how to use that screwdriver to fix it. Like if the door handle broke, rather than buying a new door handle, he stuck a screwdriver in there. There's your door handle.
Piece of gum and a screwdriver. That will work. My grandma was the same way.
Yeah.
She was the same way. I mean, she would jar everything because she never knew when she was going to need it. My aunt and uncle, who are a bit older, their mom and mother and fathers were part of the 20s as well in the Depression. They are the most frugal people I've ever met. They save things to save it for the what if factor. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing, but you don't see that today.
No.
You know, and it's funny too, because I was listening to one of Simon Sinek's interviews that he had done, and he was talking a little bit about that and why I jumped on them, because he was talking about endurance and the difference of, you know, the past generations to today and how the millennials are really reacting where the, you know, they're not saving. And it's the, you know, I wanted everything growing up. Why am I not winning now, you know, in corporate? So it's the game has really changed on the whole mindset and the way people are looking at how they behave, but also on that topic of leadership. And I know that that's one thing that you talk about, and that definition of leadership really has changed. It's doing a 90-degree change and turn on how in corporation, in businesses, and how the leaders need to react to their employees, because again, you do have the multi-level, the multi-generational employees in there. And I know that could be a whole different conversation talking about that. But, I mean, how do you make sense? How do you work with corporations to make sense of leadership in the workplace?
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic question. And I've actually spent a lot of time thinking about that. I mean, like you, we interview lots of people. And I tend to interview CEOs and executives mostly on my show. Shameless plug, it's called Executives After Hours. But it's an hour-long conversation.
Plug away.
It's an hour-long conversation where I actually take the executive on a journey autobiographically from when they were children to all the way to where they're at now. And what you see is there's certain themes over my 80-plus interviews that I've done.
Okay.
And the four main themes that I keep coming up with, and I'd love to get your take on this, because you know, obviously you're a leader as well and you've interviewed hundreds of people as well. But you find that they are usually, I boil it down to four qualities. One, they're self-reflective, right?
And they
look at themselves. They can say, here's my pros, here's my cons.
Right.
They are great at relationships. They value them. They take time with them. They foster them. They are honest, not in a mean way. But if, for example, I use this as my example for honesty, I'm going to pull someone aside and say, listen, this job may not be for you. I think your talents are better served here.
And that is a good leader to do that. Although the person on the other side might feel like, oh, I just got stabbed or
totally.
I just got the boot.
But the honesty is about looking out for their best interests, which goes back to relationships. And the final one is empathy.
Yes.
They're empathetic. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that you can shove a bunch of other traits in there, but those are the four that I kept seeing again and again from leaders.
Yes.
That I interview. And I think when you go in and talk to leaders, CEOs, executives, you have to have that conversation with them. And they have to do some real soul searching to figure out if they have the attributes to really move the direction of the organization. Because it's my belief that we're in a new world of leadership. You know, we used to be top down, do as I say, don't ask questions.
Yes.
We're now really about authentic leaders, people who are real, who are honest, who who are transparent, yes. who are vulnerable. And I think those are the leaders that people follow because they can relate to those people. So I get passionate about this. I'm like,
I know. We could probably, you know, we could need a 2-hour long show to talk about it. But it is, it's that authenticity, and that's what is really coming through. And it's not just a millennial. It's the Gen X, because a lot of my study was done around Gen X and Gen X women and women in corporations. And that's where the upper out comes from, because you know, that's the sandwich generation. You know, we talked about our parents, and you know, early we talked about kids, but that is the sandwich generation. And, you know, we get stuck in that place of, you know, do we have that endurance to take care of mom and dad, to take care of the kids, and to be at our best, you know, in at work, you know, in the corporations.
Can I just say something though?
Sure.
I have so much admiration and respect for women who can do it all, right? Because the expectations for women who are in leadership positions far exceeds men, right? And
it does.
Being a man,
it does.
It's totally different. Like you're expected to come home, be the nurturer, you know? Right. There's so many dads that I meet that work 60, 70 hour weeks. And that's okay because they're the dad. But if the mom did that, I think a marriage would dissolve in no time, because I just don't know if a dad can handle it. I mean, it's a special man to handle that role. So I have so much admiration. My mom worked full-time growing up. She was the breadwinner in the house. So I have a lot of respect for women leaders. I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but I want you to know that I can respect what you do and the fact that women have these different challenges that men don't have in personal life versus professional life.
And it is, and not that I'm a woman, but it is true. I mean, it is, like you said.
Well, you are a woman.
Yeah, I am a woman. But I mean, I remember when I was a single mom, and it was, okay, work all day, go home, take care of the kids. Because then, I had to go back to school. And let's just throw more onto the plate.
How did you do it?
You know, my kids went to school with me. When they were younger, I actually took them to the classroom with me. And then, of course, you know, times when they couldn't, there were other students, you know, traditional students who would say, I'll take them to the library. And they took them to the library. And good or bad, I taught my kids to be very independent. Mm-hmm. And they all have master's degrees today, and they all have fabulous jobs. And so the good part was I taught them to be independent. The bad part was I taught them to be independent.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, they're doing their thing. But that's how I did it. And it was just a huge support system. And, you know, not only did I go to school, but I also worked a second job. Our family had a restaurant. So, you know, to make money then, you know, I worked at the restaurant, and everything I made at the restaurant, I took home, and I had this big jar, and I would throw my tips and whatever I made in that jar. And that was my kids' spending money for the week, you know, their lunch money or their dance lessons or their recitals or, you know, because they were in everything. So, I mean, when you're a single mom, you know, let's add that on top of it. Yeah. So, but it was really help of a very good system that I had around me. I mean, I couldn't have done it without them.
So did you find, like, you know, kind of going back to the topic or theme today of endurance, did you find your endurance was born out of just survival?
That at that time, it was definitely survival for me. Mm-hmm. It was survival. You know, because I was working full time, was a good job, but I still had to pay mortgage and again two kids and you know everything that they needed to do. And
you had to be strong, and you had to be.
And
there
I
for
had
them.
To be, and yeah. I had to be strong. And I only cried when the door was shut. It's like, how am I going to do this? Yeah. It's Christmas. Oh my God, what am I going to do?
Yeah,
but it was, I had a lot of those moments, but it was definitely survival. That was the endurance I had. And I mean, even growing up, that survival mode had kicked in for me. So it's always been that endurance. I got to keep going. I got to keep going. And I know that a lot of women, I interviewed about 50 women for my book that I'm working on in the C-suite and men, but I mean, all the women almost to a T had the same story of how it was survival that you know, added to them having the endurance that they do today.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
I don't want to exclude men. Like, we have endurance as well.
No, definitely not at all. I mean, my husband's wonderful. And like you said, when he came into the marriage, he came with three kids. So, you know, I immediately had five. So, I mean, he had to, you know, step in. I mean, even now, I mean, they're out of the house, but I mean, I'm busy 24/7 really with the business, and he works in a corporate. So, you know, there has to be a balance there of, you know, how we help each other. Mm-hmm. Well, I could definitely keep talking, but I know our time is running out and we have one more segment. I know. But we really got
I hijacked the conversation. Sorry, Connie.
That's okay. You became the interviewer there for a minute. Yeah. But that's what it's all about. Like, my show would be just two old friends chatting away. And we definitely did do that. But let me take a really quick sponsor break and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Greg Davis. Connie asked me to pop in for a moment to tell you about a great opportunity. Have you ever listened to a podcast and thought, I should be doing that, but I don't know how, I don't know where to start? Well, Up or Out with Connie Fife has partnered with Park Lane Media Group to offer you PMR podcast production. What is PMR? Production, marketing, response. The three key elements you need to successfully build your podcast success. For more information, visit parklanemediagroup.com or email podcast@parklanemediagroup.com and be sure to let them know that Connie sent you. You have a story to tell. We'll help you share it. Come to parklanemediagroup.com today and start building your podcast success.
All right, we are back. And this is our 10 in 10, and I noticed that we only have 3 minutes left on the clock here. So I don't want us to get cut off, so I'm just going to zip through this really quick.
Okay, I'll go fast too.
Okay, so we're back. Hey, you're listening to Wrap Around with Connie. And joining us today is Dr. James Kelly, and right now he is in the hot seat, and we are doing our 10 in 10 really quick. So, James, what advice would you give to your younger self?
Patience.
What's just your favorite patience. Success quote?
Favorite success quote? This is my own. Don't let fear conquer you, conquer fear.
Ooh. Did you know what you wanted to do right from the start?
I don't know what I want to do now.
Okay, working on that one. I mean, all business leaders, or as to say, most business leaders sometimes know where they're at or they want to go somewhere.
Well, but I don't want to hurry, but I say that only from the standpoint of this, is that life is a journey and I don't know where it's taking me. And all I want to do is be the best person I can be and treat people with respect. So as a human being, do I know where I want to go or what I wanted to do? Not when I was younger, but always be a good person is what's always my goal.
Great. Well, what was your greatest failure? Don't have enough time for that one, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I mean, probably from a personal perspective, my mom was in banking, and I actually had to do a bankruptcy in my late 20s. So I kind of failed financially at that point.
Okay. So what was your greatest win?
Probably finding my wife. To be honest.
And your four kiddos.
Yeah.
Well, I know you're in marketing. So do you focus on digital trends?
I've done some work on online brand communities. Most of my focus nowadays is on corporate health and wellness, trying to figure out best tactics to get people to move and behavior change.
All right. So let our listeners know how they can hear more about you.
Please check me out on Executives After Hours, which is my podcast, which is found on C-Suite Network on Business Conscious Transformation. You can also obviously find it on iTunes and every other bloody medium possible. You can also go to my website, which is braveendurance.com. That's BRAVENDURANCE. I have to close my eyes to spell that, .com. And those are the two best ways to get a hold of me.
Well, you've been an awesome guest. Love to have you back on the show again. But to everyone out there listening, thank you for being here. And be sure to subscribe with us on iTunes, Facebook, and LinkedIn, because you don't want to miss any of the good stuff. This is Connie Fife, your unstoppable diva, and you're listening to Up or Out with Connie. It's been great being here with you today. And ask yourself, am I better today than I was yesterday? Until next time, be bold, be connected, and be unstoppable together.